Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God he didn't call 10,000 angels. I'm glad. The Bible said he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. You say, preacher, what could be the joy set before him? It was you and it was me, and I'm glad. I don't understand it, to be honest with you. I don't know what he saw in me, but I'm glad that he saw something. He considered us worth hanging on the cross to have us. Amen. Open your Bible to Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22. Going to share what we feel like the Lord had for us tonight. And I appreciate the singing. I appreciate Brother George. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to preach tonight. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Could be in hell tonight. Me and Brother Jack and I were rejoicing a minute ago. I could be in hell. I deserve to be in hell. And if I would have died and went to hell, God would have still been just. He would have still been holy. He would have still been right. But some reason or another, he sent somebody by my way back in December of 1998, and on January of 1999, on a Friday evening around 8 o'clock, by the good grace of God, for the first time, I saw myself lost and on my way to hell, and I called on the Savior. You say, what'd he do? He did what he said he would do. He saved me. Amen. I thank God for being saved tonight. Amen. Luke chapter number 22. We got a few points, 5 points tonight. You ever go through things and you try to make sense of them? You can't quite understand them. Am I a little bit loud tonight? I got a little echo. I don't know if it's just me. George picked on the sound man. He's taking it out on me. I don't know. Brother George, we go through things sometimes and we're constantly trying to make sense of what's going on in our lives. And sometimes you'll have a bad day and the first thing you think, well, Lord, what did I do? Or something will go good and you think, well, I must have things going right. Now, I want to preach for just a minute tonight. I want to look at a passage, just a couple of verses, and I want to preach and try to help us tonight on understanding the sifting or understanding some difficulty. How many of you ever been through something difficult? Amen. You know, if you've been saved longer than 5 minutes, you've been through a storm or you've been through a valley, and there's things we go through and we don't can't seem to get a grasp on it. We'll try to answer some of those questions tonight. Verse Luke chapter number 22. I'll just kind of give you a taste of the atmosphere, what's going on. I laugh at the disciples. I'm glad that God records the good things about people in the Bible, and I'm also thankful. It helps me to see where God recorded some of the things about his people where we can just laugh at. The 12 apostles are sitting around with Jesus, and they just finished the Lord's Supper. They just finished taking the Lord's Supper, and they're sitting around talking with one another about who is. Let me read you the verse. They actually say this. I can't believe they actually used this word. Now this is Jesus, his 12 closest disciples. Those that walk with him, those that serve with him, those that pray with him, those that seen the miracles firsthand, those that know that it's him, it's not them. How many tonight know that it's him, it's not us? It's his power, not our power. It's his grace, not our grace. It's his strength, not our strength. If anybody ought to know who it is that's got the power, it's these 12 men that's been walking with him, sleeping next to him at night, and sitting underneath the stars and listening to him talk, and nobody had a more intimate relationship while Jesus served than these men. And listen to the words they said. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. You see what's going on? These 12 men are, and they said, Peter said, no, man, I'm the best preacher in the bunch. And John said, but you don't get it. I love him more than you do. And Matthew said, but I see him. He's the king, and he's my king, and nobody loves him like I do. And they said, which one, Lord? Which one of us do you think is going to be there? Don't that sound familiar? We get awful impressed with ourselves, don't we? We get awful proud of who we think we are and what we think we are. But let us remember tonight that were it not for the good grace of God, each and every one of us, any of us at this very point in time could be in a devil's hell. It's him and it's his grace and it's his power and his strength. And they actually use those words. Which one of us, Brother George, would be the greatest? And Jesus, I can't believe he didn't. I don't know. I just feel like he should have done something, but he taught him a lesson. I'm glad when we say some dumb things and we think some dumb things and we act some dumb ways, the Lord's slow to wrath and full of mercy. And he taught them a lesson, and right in the midst of this, he singles out, he looks over at Peter in verse number 31, and he said, and the Bible said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift you, desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I want to preach for just a few minutes on the lesson or understanding the sifting. They were all standing around talking with one another about who's the best preacher, who's the greatest. And right in the middle of that, Jesus teaches them a lesson. Right in the middle of that, he looks to Peter and he says to him, the devil, Satan, has desired to have you. I'm glad tonight that he can't have me. I've been sealed unto the day of redemption. But that doesn't keep him from wanting to have me. Now, I don't know. I remember what the preacher said to the young people just the other night. I don't know if anything I've ever done warrants the devil himself coming after me. I don't even know if it, most of the time, the trouble I get into is just plain old my fault. I found that out. Satan, the Bible said he desired to have him. Now, he can't have us, but that doesn't keep him from wanting to have us. He can't have us, but that doesn't keep him from desiring to wreak havoc in our life. He can't have us, but that doesn't keep him from trying to put traps and snares and temptations in our life to keep us stumbling and keep us falling and keep us falling head over heels and falling into pitfalls. He can't have us, but that doesn't keep him from trying to stir up trouble. He said he may have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And number one, let me say this, is the prophecy of the sifting. The Bible said, and the Lord said unto Simon, Satan is, and if you read the last part, it's almost as if the last part of verse number 32, Jesus told Simon what was going to happen. He said, Simon, you're just about to enter into a deep, dark, lonely battle between you and the chief of the wicked ones. You and the chief of all the devils, you and him are just about to enter into a battle, and you're going to fight. And let me say this. Number one, there's the prophecy of the sifting. You say, preacher, what can I learn from that? Jesus knows what you're going into long before you ever get there. He knows everything before you ever face tomorrow. He's already been there. He's already dealt with it. He's already knows about it. There's nothing that takes place in your life that he doesn't first know about and he doesn't approve. The Bible said in John chapter 10, when he putteth forth his own sheep, when he sends you to do something, he goeth before them. I'm glad that I've got a God that knows my tomorrows. He knows my yesterdays. He knows where I am today. He knows what I'm going to face when I wake up in the morning. The prophecy of the trial, or the prophecy of the sifting. You say, preacher, I wish I had. Wouldn't you like to have a warning sometimes? Wouldn't you like to have a warning before the trouble truck backs up to your house and dumps the whole load? Before something takes place? You know, there's none of us. There's none of us. There's nobody in here tonight that's any more than one phone call away from tragedy. Nobody in here tonight that's any more than, hey, listen, you don't know, we none of us know what's going to be on tomorrow. You say, preacher, I'd love to have a warning. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12 said this, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We have a warning. You're going to face battles. You're going to face dark days. You will go through struggles and hard times. Number two is I wrote down the promise for the sifting. I'm glad God gives us some promises. He gave Peter a promise, gave Simon Peter a promise before he went through this sifting. He said, I have prayed for thee. That ought to do something for us. Hebrews chapter, you said, preacher, I wish I had somebody praying for me. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25 said this, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Between us and the Father, there's one perfect one. There's the Holy One, the only begotten Son of God. And everything that you go through and everything that you face, even when you don't feel like there's anybody in it with you, there he is saying, Father, help him. Father, bless him. Father, be merciful. Why? Because he's ever living to make intercession for us. I'm glad tonight. Now, hey, listen, I'm glad I have people that'll text me occasionally, call me sometime, and I got a text early Saturday morning said, just simply said this, praying for you and your family. Thank God I've got people. Hey, but listen, there's nobody ever prayed for me like he prayed for me. I'm glad that he's interceding. And we're going somewhere. Hold on, we'll just hang tight a minute. It might take us a minute to get there, but we're going somewhere. Said, I've prayed for you. This promise. You look what he just introduced something. He just brought something into Simon's life. He just gave him some bad news. He just gave him some difficult news. He just gave him some unsettling news. And he said, nevertheless, but he said, however, or but I have prayed for you. You know what that phrase, that promise, you know what it was supposed to be? It was supposed to be, or what it was, it was Jesus showing him that, hey, you're getting ready to go into this storm. You're about to face this trial. You're fixing to go through this, but I want you to know something. I'm praying for you. You know what he's saying? I love you. I care about you. I'm concerned enough that you're not going through it without me caring. I care about. Hey, listen, it was supposed to be a display of love in a dark day or a difficult day. You know what else it was supposed to be? I believe this. It was supposed to be a word of knowledge in a day of confusion. Hey, Peter was fixing to find out some things. Have you ever, the Lord was fixing to take Peter down a notch. He was fixing to show him as much about himself as he's ever seen before. Peter, you know what Peter's attitude, you know what he said when Jesus told him, when he shared this with him, he said, Lord, He said, I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to go to prison for you. He said, there's nothing I could go through that would keep me from following you and the Lord. And the fact of the matter is, that just wasn't the truth. We'd like to think we know what we would do in somebody else's situation, but the truth of the matter is, we don't know what we would do in any particular situation until we're in that particular situation, because the Lord turned right around and said, Simon, he turned right around and said, you don't understand. Before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. Peter, he didn't believe that about himself. Sometime these trials, they'll show you and I what we're really made of, and we won't like what we find out. These things are eye-opening. It's a word of knowledge in a day of confusion. It's a ray of light in a dark day. I'm glad that we've got some promises, amen, for our dark days. But also I see the purpose of the sifting. Now, the Lord is he made it used an illustration. He said, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. And you and I, we know what wheat is, right? We've seen wheat. Now, the purpose of the sifting process is to take that wheat that's cut down and change it from something that's useless to make something that is useful. It's to change it from some. Hey, listen, you know when wheat is beautiful, when you see a field of it, it's so beautiful that it's even made its way into our national, or made its way into America the Beautiful, amber waves of grain. I think I got that right, didn't they? That'd be, y'all go home talking about, he don't even know which song is which. But listen, it's a beautiful thing. It has attracted photographers from all over the world. It's inspired artists to paint all kinds. Listen, it's a beautiful thing. But the fact of the matter is that that field of wheat is useless when it's in that form. See, there's a process that's got to take place between that beautiful, between when it's standing up, between when it looks beautiful, and before it's useful. And listen, that wasn't Satan's desire or design for the sifting. It's just that we have a Lord who is so able and so capable to take what the devil desires to use to destruct us, and on the other end of it, make something that's useful out of it. I'm glad tonight that we serve a God who's Lord of all. The Bible said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. What you think is destroying you, what you think is tearing you down, what you think will take you under is the very thing that Jesus will use to make you useful to serve him. See, it's the purpose of the process. Peter, you can see him now. He said, Lord, I can see him standing up and bowing up and said, Lord, you must not know who I am. You must not know how good I really am. I mean, you know, since I got saved, I walked on the water. Yeah. Since I got saved, I was with you and I passed out the five loaves and two fishes. I was there when you fed the 5,000. You must not remember who you're talking to. And the Lord said, oh yeah, big boy, I know exactly who you are. Bible said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. We're awful quick when it's funny. When we're going through something, oh, the Lord's just trying my faith and building my faith. When other people are going through something, oh my, they wonder what they did. They're under judgment. That's the way we are. We look at it, we get so impressed with ourselves and forget that he's the only. Paul said this, I glory in nothing save in the cross. I could name a whole bunch of stuff that people we like to glory in. But the fact of the matter, none of it makes us anything except for what he did for us. the purpose of the sifting. Satan desired, he was going to try to tear him down and destroy him, but the Lord's able to use what Satan desires to tear us up with and help us. The only way you could really understand the purpose of the sifting is to understand the process of the sifting. See, you've got that wheat. Now, I ain't no farmer, so I'm struggling. I did look it up on Google, so I know what it looks like. No, the process of that wheat is to get it changed from useless to useful. Now, I want you to imagine for just a minute, if you were the wheat, you imagine standing tall and beautiful. I can imagine that real easy. That's me. In the field and going from there to the place where it's ready to be used. The first thing about the sifting process is called a thrashing or threshing. You remember reading in the Bible where it talks about the threshing floor. Here's what they do with the wheat. They take it and they lay it all over the threshing floor. Then they will bring in an ox. And they will lead that ox and they will walk that ox around on the threshing floor, crushing and pulverizing the outer shell of that wheat until it's broken, until it's shattered, until it comes apart, until it breaks the outer hull, until it breaks the part that everyone thinks is so beautiful, until it breaks the outside, which is really just useless, until it breaks it all to pieces, exposing the very useful part that's on the inside. Or, you say, preacher, that's enough, stop. Or if they don't do it that way, here they will take the wheat or the grain in the other and grab it in bunches and they will beat it against a hard surface until they've broken the outer shell and the useful part is exposed and can be taken up. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with it? How many of you ever got to the place where you feel like you were drug onto the threshing floor and over and over and over as the ox is crawling? Hey, listen, as it's being crushed and broken and pulverized and you thought it was going to take you down and you thought it was going to keep you down and you thought you would never be able to get up again and it's crushing and it's breaking and it's tearing you apart. Hey, listen, that's just one of the stages of the sifting process. Been crushed or pulled or you've been beaten. Hey, listen, it gets better. See, the next step in that process is they take all the broken pieces and they put it in a large fan, or they put, sorry, Brother George, you're right in the line of fire. The church I pastored, nobody would sit on the first front three rows. The next step gets better. After the crushing and the breaking and the beating, they take it and they put it on a fan and they throw it up or they toss it up into the wind. And they let, and that will, see, the grain, the useful part, has a greater weight, or listen, a greater remaining ability, a greater staying power. Some of you got that. And they throw, and the wind blows that useful part away. The part that we thought was so beautiful, the part that we thought made it important, the part that we thought made it what it was supposed to look like and be like, it's the part that just any little breeze will blow it right away. And they throw it and they toss it and the wind comes and blows. You say, preacher, being beat and broke and crushed and pulverized ain't enough. Oh yeah, it sounds like enough, but the next step you get tossed to and fro. When I was a kid, I went to the beach. When I got saved, I went to the coast. I learned how to talk Baptist long time ago. I learned there's some things you say. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just having fun. Anyway. And I remember getting out. I just a little kid. I wasn't ever a little kid. I was a young kid. And I remember, I told that to Ashby a minute. He said, you was little one time too. I said, I don't know. My daddy said I wasn't. But anyway, I remember getting out. Y'all can laugh. It's okay. I like donuts and cheeseburgers. I know. But I remember getting out in the ocean. And you know how when you get in the ocean, a wave will come in. And then another wave will come in. And then another wave. And when you're a little kid and you get knocked down by one wave. And you try to get up, boom. And every time you try to stand up, boom. And you try to get up again, and boom. I remember thinking to myself, dear God, I'll never, ever be able to. I remember thinking, I'm going to be here forever. I can't get up. Every time I get up, another wave knocks me down. Sometimes that's the way it seems in our life. But I just want to encourage you tonight. It's my desire to encourage. Hey, listen, it's just part of the sifting process. See, because he's got something in mind in the end that's a whole lot more use. May not be pretty. May not stand up. Hey, listen, but it's a whole lot more useful at the end than it was at the beginning. There's the threshing part. Then there's the winnowing part. And then there's the final stage of the entire sifting process is simply being sifted. Or, well, you remember when I don't know if you had to do it no more. I don't know if we got better flour or people just don't do it. Well, my grandma used to have this thing, and I used to get out and play with it if she wasn't looking. It was a sifter or a sieve. And you put the flour in and you crank it. Didn't make no sense to me back then till I found out. Y'all got time for a funny. Me and my wife, we was on our way. We were moving to Ireland, and I kept thinking that we was, you remember what I was saying. I was talking about the sieve, all right, and the sifting process. This is totally nuts. It's just funny because some of you look like y'all need to laugh because I don't know. My grandma, we keep flour in a bag, and you pour it out, and you put the bag up. The old time, they had big wooden bowls. Great big old wooden bowl and just laid a towel over it. And she'd get it out and you say, I would never eat it. They make pretty good biscuits, but all I know is we got there one time and I was eating me a peanut butter cookie that she had made from scratch and almost broke my tooth off on a pork chop bone. I'm telling you, this is not a good way to, listen, throw that thing away. You ain't supposed to get pork chop bones and peanut butter cookies. I don't care. It ain't supposed to happen. But he said, Meemaw, what in the world was you? She said, oh, ha-ha. I said, no, ha-ha. That's bad. Throw them things away. Since then, she's moved up in the world, and she just keeps her flour in the bag, too. That sifter you put after it's been crushed and beat, after it's been tossed and the winds have tore it apart and separated, then you lay it on that sieve and you begin to sift. And listen, I did learn that depending on the type of grain and depending on the purity required will determine the sifting process, the final stage, because there are sometimes when you put that grain in the sifter and you shake it violently. You say, but you mean after being beaten by it? Yeah, you shake it. But then there's sometimes when this stage of the process is given to the more senior part of society or the elderly. And because of their experience and their life, because of their experience and their light touch, this final stage of the sifting process will take away everything that is useless until only that which is useful remains. I thought about this. I'm glad. You know, you can plant, you can take two seeds exactly the same and plant them the same time in the same weather with the same amount of water and the same amount of sunlight, and one will flourish and one won't because of the different types of soil that it was planted in. I'm trying to be high class for because I'm in Bel Air, but the dirt that you plant down, some of you say, I can't say soil. They will come up from South Carolina and get me if I say soil. It's the dirt. They plant the seeds in the dirt. But you know what? Do you know why? You know why some of us are where we are? It's because God has placed us in a fertile environment. Has placed us around people that are patient and caring and long-suffering. Hey, it's all part of the sifting process. Now, last, here's the good part. I'm going to be done by 8 o'clock. It's the product of the sifting. See, that's what we're getting at all along. The product of the sifting. You know, before you've got the grain, and it is beautiful. It's grown tall and straight, and it's a beautiful amber or golden color, and you can look out across, and it's just blowing, it's just beautiful. But you try to make biscuits or donuts out of that, and bleh. But if you'll take that, what thinks it's really something, and put it through that breaking and beating and tearing and tossing and sifting process, then, praise, you can make some fine biscuits. You know what biscuits are, right? That's just what holds the gravy. You know what? I think about this sometimes. I really did. I know I'm a nothing and a nobody, not worth the salt that goes on my bread. I get it. But man, I thought I was something. I really did. I thought when I got saved, I thought, man, ain't nobody loves Jesus like I do. Ain't nobody wants to serve him like I do. Ain't nobody wants to preach more than I do. Ain't nobody wants to until I found out. I went through a few sifting processes. Went through a few beating and breaking and tossing and sifting and beating and breaking and tossing. And you know what I found out? I found out sort of what Simon did. He woke up the next morning and realized he wasn't exactly everything he thought he was. The Lord's still sifting, and God's still working, and he's still trying, and he's still working to make me useful. And you say, preacher, I'm going through something. May just be part of the sifting process. You know what I thought was interesting? You know, sometimes what's not said is just as important as what is said. Jesus said, I have prayed. Now, with the grain, with the illustration that Jesus used, he said, I sent you as wheat. At the end, you've got this tiny little kernel or tiny little grain. It don't look like much, but you put a whole lot of it together. Mix some eggs and I can't get donuts off my mind. I know this where they come from. Jesus didn't pray that Simon's finances fail not. Jesus didn't pray that Simon's friends fail not. He didn't pray that his reputation fail not. He didn't pray that his pride fail not. He didn't pray that any of these things, he didn't pray that his ministry fail not. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. When all that other stuff was broken away and the trial was over, boy, we try to hang on to some stuff, don't we? I don't know about you, but I do. I got to have this, and we hang on to it with a death grip, and the whole time the Lord's just sifting and churning, and he's working on us until it's gone, and then we realize, you know what? I didn't need that. I just need him. It's my faith in, you know what he's doing in our lives? He's constantly sifting away and taking away the things in our lives that we don't really need until we get to the place where we're living by faith, which we should be doing anyways. Although he didn't pray that Simon's health fail not. He said, I pray your faith fail not. He wasn't as concerned about Simon's health or finances or relationships his minute. He said, "I pray your faith fail not. It's your faith that I'm concerned about. It's your faith that I'm trying to polish. It's your faith." You say, "Preacher, what about the change?" Well, he said this. Jesus said, "When thou art converted." You say, "I thought Simon Peter was already saved." I don't know about that. I know this. This process was to bring about a change. He said, and when you're changed or when you're converted or when this sifting process has done its work, then you go and strengthen the brethren. I wrote down something a long time ago in the back of my Bible. I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but how many of you ever, and I believe if you really love the Lord, we want to help people, don't we? That's our desire. There's something in us that this burning desire to help people. We try to help young people learn what's right. We try to help the adults do what's right. We try to raise the little kids into, we're constantly, that's what service, that's what ministry is. We come into church on Sundays and Wednesdays and we look around. Maybe we see somebody that's down and we try to help them with an encouraging word. We try to help people. I wrote down a long time ago in my Bible, it said this: how can you expect to help someone in darkness unless you're willing to go through some dark days? You know why God lets you go through some of the things you do? So you can help other people that are there. Sometimes we get so caught up, I get so caught up in what I want for me to make me comfortable and to make me happy, that I miss the fact that maybe God's letting me go through this so that I could be a blessing to somebody else. He said, when thou art converted, when you're changed, when this process has worked in you, then go and strengthen the brethren. And it worked. You know what? You can almost read the difference in the attitude, and I'm almost done. You can almost feel the difference when reading. In verse 33, the Bible said this, and he said, Simon Peter speaking, and he said unto him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and into death." Right after the Lord said, you're going to, he said, "No, Lord, not me." Let me read now this is Simon Peter after this process. This is Simon Peter after this changing process. In the book of 1 Peter, starting in verse number 3, "Blessed be God and Father our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us, again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day." Listen, it's the same. "Wherein you greatly rejoice." This is Simon Peter. He said, all these things you greatly rejoice, but he's learned a lesson here and he's fixing to share it with you. "Wherein you greatly, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation." Where do you think he learned that at? He learned that in Luke chapter number 22 when Jesus allowed Satan to put him through the sifting process. Now, he's taking those lessons that he's learned and he's still rejoicing and he's still serving, but he learned a lesson. He said, "Though we rejoice in these things, but if need be," if the Lord surveys your life in you and determines that you need it, "you're in heaviness through manifold temptations." Why? That the trial of your faith, you know what Peter learned? He learned that it's your faith that's important. That your faith that honors God. Sometimes God will allow things that are make you uncomfortable if it will strengthen your faith. Allow things. And I am done. I'm glad tonight that we serve a God who's able to take what the devil means to destroy us and use it to make us useful for his glory. I'm glad we've got some promises. He turned to Simon, he said this. He said, Satan hath desired to have you. You know what that is? That's isolation. That's when you're all alone. You're in it all by yourself. He said, but I have prayed for you. You know what that is? That's relationship. You know what he was telling Simon? He said, when you feel like you're all alone, and when you feel like the devil's got you cornered and it's just you and him and he's kicking your guts out, I just want you to know I'm in this thing with you. You'll never be by you. I'm in this thing. I've prayed for you. He gave him a word about relationship in a day of isolation. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. As musicians come, God, maybe God spoke to your heart and I've delivered my heart. Maybe you're right in the middle of the sifting process. Maybe you just come through the sifting process and you're still trying to make sense of it. Maybe you're you can see that you're going into something similar and you're trying to get a grasp on it. Lord, what are you doing? Just because you're going through something difficult doesn't mean there's something wrong in your life. Maybe God is taking and removing some of the useless parts of us, the useless things in our life, so that the useful part will be what remains. Brother Jack.